Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
As investigators search for the cause of yesterday's Baltimore bridge crash, we'll size up the likely economic impact of the collapse. Plus, NBC News bows to internal pressure and cuts ties with former RNC chief Ronna McDaniel. And house flippers cash in on an increasing number of homeowners in financial distress.
You have a lot of cross currents in the economy these days. Unemployment's low, pay raises are pretty good, but you're seeing more people borrowing against their 401ks to avoid foreclosure, people falling behind on auto loans, and you have credit card debt piling up for a lot of people. The question is, where does it go from here?
It's Wednesday, March 27th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin in Baltimore as investigators begin to probe the cause of a major bridge collapse yesterday that left six people presumed dead. We are exclusively reporting that the investigation will look into whether contaminated fuel played a role in a giant cargo ship losing power and crashing into the bridge. While not common, blackouts at sea do happen and have long been considered a major accident risk for ships. The National Transportation Safety Board hasn't commented on what issues investigators have so far uncovered. Meanwhile, the economic impact of the bridge collapse and ensuing disruptions to the Port of Baltimore are beginning to come into focus. Journal Commodities reporter David Uberti says that while the port doesn't rank highly in terms of container imports, its handling of certain specialized cargoes could cause problems.
Baltimore is a very large coal export facility, the second largest in the country. About one quarter of all U.S. seaborne coal exports go through Baltimore. So traders will have to find new ports where they can send it through. And if not, the transport costs will likely just have to go up. Baltimore is also a pretty large hub for imports of sugar. They have a Domino sugar refinery that's been there for about a century, and it produces up to 6 million pounds of refined sugar every day. Now, luckily for the company that owns that facility, it has about 6 to 8 weeks of raw sugar stockpiled. So in terms of short-term disruptions, it doesn't really expect any at this point. Depending on how long some of this disruption might last, it could really force a lot of companies that trade in commodities or some of the other products that go through the port to really rejigger their supply chains.
Officials and experts say that rebuilding the bridge would be a long-term project, suggesting that disruptions could last for months. In a dramatic about-face, NBC News has cut ties with Ronna McDaniel just days after hiring the former Republican National Committee chairwoman as a contributor. That followed public outcry from some of NBC's own stars, many of whom blasted the decision to hire McDaniel on air. McDaniel, who left her RNC job earlier this month as former President Donald Trump was on the verge of clinching the Republican presidential nomination, has been criticized for her support of Trump's efforts to challenge the results of the 2020 presidential election. New data out of China is adding to signs that the world's second largest economy could be finding its footing, with industrial profits for January and February jumping more than 10% compared with a 2.3% decline over 2023. The news came as President Xi Jinping today met with U.S. business leaders gathered in Beijing, a meeting that is expected to send positive economic signals after foreign direct investment in China last year declined for the first time in a decade. Merck is a step closer to seeing an $11.5 billion bet pay off after the FDA yesterday approved its new drug for a potentially fatal lung disease. The pharma giant bought the company developing the drug back in 2021 and is counting on the treatment to deliver blockbuster sales to help stave off a massive revenue decline when the patent for its cash cow cancer treatment expires in 2028. Merck said it sees the drug approved yesterday as a multi-billion dollar opportunity, and analysts estimate it could fetch sales of up to $7.5 billion a year. And Elon Musk is betting that Tesla's driver assistance technology can give his company an edge amid softening demand for electric vehicles. Musk has told employees to step up promotion of the so-called full self-driving capability software, which is designed to help with driving tasks like steering and lane changes and costs $199 a month as a subscription service. Journal reporter William Boston covers the auto industry.
Automakers are approaching this a bit differently. Tesla is much more assertive and aggressive about pushing the full self-driving capabilities, while the Germans, who have been among the first to put the software out on the road, are taking a much more cautious approach to it. Mercedes and BMW, for example, who both now have a system that allows you to take your hands off the wheel under certain conditions, they're much more cautious about the software and about people understanding the limitations of the software. The experience with Tesla has shown us that with their autopilot software, that people tend to think the software can do more than it actually can.
Coming up, surging home prices are drawing house flippers to a growing number of U.S. homes in pre-foreclosure. We'll look at how those homes are changing hands and what the practice signals about the state of the housing market after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Since the start of COVID, the U.S. housing market has been transformed by a more than 40% rise in home prices. That run-up priced many people out of buying, but for those that do own, an accumulation of equity hasn't necessarily solved the challenges of making monthly payments, as evidenced by a rise in so-called foreclosure starts filed by lenders. And our Deputy Personal Finance Bureau Chief Ben Eisen reports that some small-time investors are eagerly stepping up to cash in as some homeowners struggle to make ends meet. And he joins me now with the details. Ben, walk us through how these investors that you've profiled are trying to capitalize on this pre-foreclosure market. How are they operating in this landscape?
So if you think about being a homeowner, you pay your mortgage every month, and if you start to fall behind, eventually you get into a place of so-called pre-foreclosure, which means that you are pretty far behind your mortgage. The lender may have taken steps to start foreclosing on the house, but they haven't actually followed through yet. And this is a space that we're kind of seeing these investors jump into. They're being proactive, and it's, you know, public knowledge that if you've defaulted on your mortgage, that's in public records. And real estate investors, they'll mail letters, they'll make phone calls, they'll go knocking door to door, basically trying to get to the homeowner and say, hey, you are in this position. Why don't you sell me your house?
And it sounds like there's quite a bit of money to be made here. Recap the math of this, according to some of the people that you spoke to.
So the thing that kind of greases all of the wheels of this type of investing is home equity. If home values go up, you have all of this equity in your home. In a hypothetical state, you could sell your house. And even if you sell it for below market value, you might still pocket some money to pay off the mortgage and walk away with some cash. And then the investors might fix it up and flip it and make a substantial profit themselves.
Sounds like a potential win-win for buyer and seller, though maybe with the exception that below market rate sales are occurring, right? Is that maybe the caveat here? Sellers may not know how good of a deal they're getting if they're approached by one of these private buyers?
There are many, many caveats here. This is not a situation where the homeowner always wins. This is a market where there's very scant oversight. And what we're talking about is people who generally are not listing their homes on the open market. When you list on the market, you get the maximum amount of money. If you're selling to whoever approaches you, you might get the benefit of selling it quick or not having to think about it. But yes, you probably lose some of the money that you might otherwise get. And there are like a lot of reports of abuse of investors trying to push homeowners into selling their house and lowballing them. So there is kind of this wild west that exists.
I wonder if this will get more common, especially as we report on commissions for real estate agents going down. Is that something we could expect?
This is an area that investors see as an opportunity. We're seeing an uptick in pre-foreclosure sales. So when a home falls into the state of distress, the homeowner, rather than letting it go to foreclosure, they are selling it before it reaches that state of foreclosure. And that's because they have equity in the house. So if you let the house go to foreclosure, the bank takes that equity. If you sell beforehand, at least you are getting some of it. Whether you're getting as much as you should, that's a different question.
Ben, if there is an increase in these pre-foreclosure sales we're talking about, could this be a warning sign of what could be to come for the broader housing market?
So foreclosure starts, which is sort of what starts this period of pre-foreclosure, are rising from very low levels. So they basically dwindled to nothing during the pandemic. And now you're seeing them pick up over the last couple of years. It's still below pre-pandemic levels. The question is, where does it go from here? You have a lot of cross currents in the economy these days. You have people that, you know, when you look at the economic data, they seem to be doing pretty well. Unemployment's low, pay raises are pretty good. You also have more people borrowing against their 401ks to avoid foreclosure. And you have people falling behind on auto loans, and you have credit card debt piling up for a lot of people. Where it goes from here, I mean, the investor I followed around, she thinks things will get very ugly. If you ask a sort of everyday economist what they think, they'd probably say, no, that's not what I expect to happen. But there are signs that things are, at least around the margins, getting a bit worse.
We will be watching closely. Ben Eisen is the Wall Street Journal's Deputy Personal Finance Bureau Chief. Ben, thank you so much for bringing us this story.
Thank you.
And finally, many Americans are choosing to work less for less money, and in return for taking a pay cut, looking for a raise in other areas such as free time and autonomy over their days. WSJ personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker says it's a bid for many to strike that ever-elusive work-life balance.
It's not that people want less money in their bank account. It's that they are thinking about this trade-off between, well, maybe if I went down a bit in money, I could go up in some other categories. A surprising number of people say that when they switch jobs and their pay goes down, their new job is actually better. That percentage is 40% of people. And if you look at the actual variables or characteristics of a job that make people like it more or less, when a new job has higher pay, that's actually less likely for people to say that it's better than when they're more interested in the work. Becoming more interested in the work is a better predictor of whether someone's going to like a new job than if they have higher pay in it.
And you can hear much more about this story on the WSJ's Your Money Briefing, wherever you get your podcasts. And from work-life balance to the work-study balance, a unionization push is underway in college athletics led by students at Dartmouth and is setting up a fight that could play out for years over whether college athletes are employees of their universities. And we want to know what questions you have about how that debate could reshape everything from the future of American higher education to professional sports. Send us a note, or even better, record a voice memo and send that to us at wnpod@wsj.com. That's wnpod@wsj.com, or leave us a voicemail at 212-416-4328. Just be sure to include your name and your location, because we might use it on the show. And that was What's News for Wednesday morning. Today's show was produced by Hattie Moyer and Kate Bullivant. Christina Rocha was our supervising producer. And I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.